Verse 14, Ephesians chapter 3, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of who the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and to know the love of Christ that goes beyond your natural thinking, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. That you, say that I might be filled, say that, with all the fullness of God. Say that again, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think, according to the power that works in me. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we are so thankful for your abundant love towards us. We are so thankful that you gave your only begotten Son to redeem us from the power of sin, to redeem us from the power of death, to redeem us from the power of Satan, and to translate us and to move us into the kingdom of your dear Son. Father, we thank you that you have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What a wonderful Father you are. Father, I pray that as I teach the things that you've given me to teach, Lord, Holy Spirit, have your way in this service today. I declare that revelation knowledge will go forth, that it will minister grace to the hearers, that it will enter into the hearts of the people here. And Father, that this word will be transforming in our lives in the name of Jesus. And if you receive that, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Now, for sake of time, let me just summarize what's going on. Jesus was walking through the temple, and he turns to his disciples, and he says, you see this? You see this magnificent building? It took 47 years to build. He said, I tell you that there is coming a day that not one stone will be left on top of the other. He prophesied the complete destruction of the temple. That prophecy came through in AD 70 when the Romans came through and they completely leveled the Temple Mount. And so the disciple said, so in verse 3, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? So they're wanting to get an idea of when is all of this going to happen. And so Jesus starts talking to them about some things. He says, verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. Stop there. Jesus said over in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. The Bible says in the last days that men's hearts will fail them because of fear. You have to make a choice when you hear what's going on around the world, when you hear what the news media wants you to hear, when you see what's going on the internet and all the news things and what people are saying, you have to make a choice of whether you're going to allow what you are hearing to affect what's going on the inside, or are you going to make a decision to not let your heart be troubled. The choice is yours. Sometimes we feel like that we are at the whim of our circumstances. I can't control the way that I think. I can't control the fear that's in my life. I can't control this because I'm hearing this all the time. Jesus said, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't let your heart be troubled. Why? Because my faith isn't in what this world system is doing. My faith is in what God is doing. I stand in the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this world. And God said, I will protect you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So I don't care what's going on around me. I don't care what's going on in the Middle East. I don't care what's going on in China. I don't care what's happening in Russia. None of that moves me because I have angels encamped around about me. 1,000 shall fall at my side, 10,000 in my right hand, but it shall not come nigh me. Hallelujah. He says, so don't let your heart be troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Look at verse 7. Nation shall rise against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in different places. And these are the beginning of sorrows. Look at verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. Now, I was just talking about protection, but what this is referring to is what happens in the tribulation. Okay? Don't let your heart be troubled. During the tribulation part of it, later on, there will be saints that are killed and all of that, but it'll be a testimony, and Revelation talks about that. This is not what we're getting to today. I want you to look at the next phrase. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Look at verse 10. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. These two verses jumped off the page at me as I was just reading them, studying them. We've entered into a time that I believe that a spirit of hate has began to grow and to spread throughout this nation and throughout this world. He said, many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Previously, he said that you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. There has never been a time in this nation's history that the attack on Christianity has been so great. There's never been a time in this nation's history that people, that atheists, that don't believe in God are openly putting up monuments. In Oklahoma, they're putting up satanic monuments in public places because there should be a separation of church and state. And so what they want to do is affect people's lives. At the Grammys, they had a mass homosexual wedding. There was a singer there who was raised up in a Christian home, a spirit-filled home, that because she has become so popular in her set, she had witchcraft and satanic symbols. Never in our nation's history has non-Christians been so bold about their hate towards believers. It talks about nation rising up against nation. I want to bring it down a little bit to how about Democrats rising up against Republicans, Republicans rising up against Democrats. Racism is probably at an all-time high, and there's a division in this country, rich against poor, poor against rich. There is a dividing that is happening in this country. You can sense it. You know it instinctively. You see it happening. It is a spirit of hate that is trying to work its way throughout the world. Now, we can sit here as believers this morning and we can say, oh, yes, I see that. I agree with that. I see all of it. But I'm going to tell you that what's happened is because of what's happening out there, we've started allowing seeds of hate to enter into our lives as believers. Jesus said that it is our love for one another that is going to be a witness to the world. They shall know us for our love for one another. Husbands and wives are fighting, disagreeing, having problems, children against parents, all of that because of the spirit that is operating in the world today. And you can't just let it come in and just say, well, you know, it's going to pass on through. We're not in that day anymore. We are going to have to actively resist the devil and he will flee from us. We are going to have to make a decision that we're going to lead a life or live a life of love. We're going to have to make sure that our homes are surrounded by love. We're going to have to make sure that our workplaces are surrounded by love. We got to make sure that there's no disagreement, that there's no dissension in our churches today. Churches need to work with other churches. They don't need to be against each other. They don't need to be in competition with each other. We are the body of Christ. We need to love one another. Amen. This world is in desperate need for a demonstration of the love of God. And it starts here. It doesn't start here. It starts here. I have to make a decision. I have to make a decision. He said here, verse 10 again. Many shall be offended. You see a progression that happens. The first part of what I want to share with you this morning is to show you how to not allow yourself to slide into a place that hate is filling your heart. Oh, well, I don't hate anybody. Yeah, but do you turn the cold shoulder to your husband? Do you snap at your wife? Do you talk bad about your boss and the people that have done you harm? Is there bitterness in your heart when it comes to other people? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, don't allow there to be a root of bitterness in your life. Here's a progression. Many shall be offended. And so because of the offense, they shall betray one another. Out of that betrayal, hate is born. So number one, don't allow yourself to be offended at other people. Because that offense will grow and it will create a problem between you and that individual and it will stop the love of God from operating in your life. Now, let's go on. Verse 11, many false prophets shall rise, shall deceive many. But look at verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Saints, we're living in that day. I said a few weeks ago, there are people that have lost their love for God. They have lost their love for His Word. It could be any one of these two things. It could be an offense that came in. It could be that maybe there's an area of iniquity in your life or sin or something like that. Sin will cause your heart to become cold to the things of God. It will dim you from being able to hear the voice of God. Hold your finger there and let's go over to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And let's look at verse 1. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. It's just talking about Jesus being in the midst of the churches. This is what he said to the church of Ephesus. I know your works and your labor and your patience and how you cannot bear them that are evil. And you've tried them which say that they are apostles and they are not. And you found them to be liars. And you've borne and you have my patience. And for my name's sake, you've labored and you have not fainted. You've not given up. You've not quitted. Nevertheless, I have something against you. If Jesus said, I have a problem with something in your life, I think I want to listen to what he has to say. Because you have left your first love. You have left your first love. So remember from where you are fallen and repent and do the first works. Here's a church that's on fire for God. We just started off reading in Ephesians. So you see what's going on in this church's life. They had a revelation of the love of God. But somewhere along the way, they got so busy being church that they stopped focusing on Jesus. Somewhere along the way, he said they had fallen from this area, and they may have been a big church. They may have been a big organization. They may have been affecting their city for God. But somewhere, Jesus said, you have fallen from where you were. I don't care that you're a big church. I care about what are you seeking first. I care about what is your first love. That's where a church flourishes. That's where the power of God is in operation. It is when you are following Jesus fully. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the love of God, but we've been talking last week about how much God loves us. As a result of how much God loves us, there has to be a reciprocal of how much we love God. None of these things will happen in our lives that I started off. The first part of this message was somewhat negative in nature because it described kind of where we are. I'm not interested in where we are. I'm interested in where we're going. I'm interested in what the solution is. So now let's turn around and let's find out, how do I stop my love from waxing cold? How do I stop from being offended? How do I stop and not allow hate to come in to my marriage or disagreement to come in? Because what will happen in a marriage is somebody will get just a little bit offended at something that they thought the husband was supposed to do or something that the husband did that they're just mad at. And what will happen is that'll be a seed. And then the next time there'll be another seed and there'll be a layer and you're building brick upon brick and a wall comes up. And as a result, one of the worst things that can happen in a marriage, obviously, is divorce. But how about this? Where two people agree as touching anything, it shall be done. There's no more power in the spirit realm than when a husband and a wife touch and agree concerning something. Something that Satan has a fear of is when a husband and a wife realize they are heirs together of the grace of life. That's what 1 Peter chapter 3 says. So what does Satan want to do? He wants to do whatever he can to keep his husband, or to keep the husband and wife in disagreement. Because then the power of God is not available to them in the measure that it could be. So you have to be on guard. You have to watch. You have to make sure that you're not allowing that to come in. How do we do that? Turn with me over to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. See, the Bible says that faith works by love. Faith works by love. We must get to a place in our lives that love is just operating. I don't care what goes on. Love is just flowing out of you. Hallelujah. In Mark chapter 12, And verse 28. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, this is what they asked Jesus, what is the first commandment of all? You got all of this Bible here, this Old Testament. I'm just going to this part right here, all of this. What is Jesus? What is, in your opinion, the most important commandment in all of these pages? And of course, they had a scrolls, but, you know, this is what Jesus said. Jesus answered him, the first of all, the most important, everything hinges on this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Verse 30. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. This is the most important thing. I'm a child of the Most High God. You're a son. You're a daughter of the Most High God. His love for us knows no bounds. But out of a revelation of that, I want my love for him to know no bounds. I want my love for God to become evident to God. I don't want to just say, Father, I love you. It's wonderful that we can have these worship times and we can talk to God about how much we love him. God, I love you so much. And sometimes we get very emotional about that. But my question is, does my life line up? Can I truly say that I love the Lord my God with all my heart? Or is there still some areas in my life that are more important to me and I'm going to hold on to a little bit? Can I truly say that I love the Lord my God with all my soul? Now that's my mind, that's my will, that's my emotions. Am I loving God the whole way? Can I truly say that I love him with all my mind? What does it mean to love God with all your mind? It simply means that I'm going to think the way God thinks. What he says about my life, that's the way that I'm going to think. If I feel like that I'm not righteous, if I feel like that I'm not worthy, God says he's made me righteous. He's made me worthy. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And for me to think differently than what God has already said about me is not showing God that I love him with all my mind. God says, I will supply all of your need. God says, I've given you my peace. God says, I'm taking care of your family. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Then for me to love God with all my mind is for me to agree with what he has said about me. What if I told Seth how much I loved him? Come here, son. Let me give you a big hug. See, I don't get this at home. I make him have to do this here. But what if he just went off and started telling his friends, my parents don't like me. My parents don't love me. They don't let me see my girlfriend enough. They just don't love me. You know, or whatever it is. How's that going to make me feel? What I want him to do is I want him to love me enough to recognize my love for him and to express that to other people as well. I don't want him talking bad about me. I want him thinking in his mind. I want him to know how much I love him. I want to know that during the day when he's not with us or when he's studying or whatever, that he still knows how much I love him. And I want him, as a result, to reciprocate that by loving us, by doing exactly what we say all the time when we say it. Come on, preach. How do I show my love for God? I got to think. I got to take the time to find out what God has said about me. Just that little bit. Just taking a little bit of time and saying, God, I'm going to spend time in your word. I'm going to find out what your precious promises are to me. I'm going to find out how much you love me. Just doing that is a way to love God with all your mind. And he said, and with all your strength. That means with all that is in me, I'm going to do my best to show God how much I love him. Now, how can I do that, and what will it do in my life? Let me just give you one quick illustration. Let's turn over to John chapter 14. And as we go over there, let me talk about the snowstorm this Tuesday for a moment. Jennifer had an appointment in Trustful. If you know about the Trustful side of town, we live over in Grayson Valley. And between Grayson Valley and Trustful is Chalkville Mountain. And so you go over Chalkville Mountain Road. There's a Walmart up there. Jennifer was in downtown Trustful having to get her hair done. Can't miss that appointment. I don't care if snow's coming or what. Got to go get the hair done. Anyway, as you know, the snow came down so quick. I told her, I said, you need to go. She left with her hair wet. Okay. 2 hours later, she's still not home. She didn't get a mile up the road. I mean, it was a mess. Finally, she stopped at somebody's house. The couple was very nice just to let her in. I said, just stop somewhere, and then we'll figure out what to do. Well, Jennifer did not want to spend the night with a couple that she did not know. I understand that. But she was not getting home. Well, I love my wife. So what did I do? I said, I'll see you in the morning, honey. No, I did not say that. Because then I wouldn't have needed to be home when she showed back up. No, what did I do? I put on a coat, put on my gloves, got a backpack, got a big heavy coat, put some gloves in it, put it on, and I started walking to Trustful. And so that's about 3 miles away. Walked up over the mountain, walked down the mountain, went down there, saw all the cars messed up, but I got there, got her the clothes and stuff. I said, come on, baby, let's walk home. So we started walking back. Got just about half a mile up the road to where Wendy's is. And Jamie Lane, she had finally made it off the interstate and had just got off the interstate. She had a four-wheel drive, so she came, picked us up, took us right down to the bottom of our street. We didn't have to walk all the way home. Thank God. Amen. Jamie was an angel at that moment. Hallelujah. I can now tell my grandkids that I walked uphill both ways in the snow. Hallelujah. Why did I do that? Because I loved her. Was it inconvenient? Did I want to walk 3 miles? No. But guess what? My love for her was more. I mean, I never even considered, oh, man, that's a long walk. My only concern was for her and to get her back home. My love for Jennifer moved me, compelled me to do something that I would not normally do. My love for God needs to move me, compel me to do something that I would not normally do. That means I need to put the word first place in my life. That means I need to do the things that God has asked me to do. In John chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus said, if you love me, don't tell me. Keep my commandments. Now, the commandments of God are very easy, or commandments of Jesus. His commandment is to believe on Jesus and to love one another. That's really all that it is. But it's that loving one another sometimes we have an issue with. I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Can I tell you that the Bible says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit? To walk in love, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to have the Holy Spirit operating in your life. Because I promise you, that flesh is still going to want to rise up and cause you to say things about somebody, to do things to people. It'll cause you to want to do things in retaliation and in spite. Have you ever just done things for spite? Don't answer that question. Verse 21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, that's the person that loves me. Get a hold of that. He says, he that has my commandments and keeps them, that is the measure. That's how God says, I know this person loves me. Not because you tell me. Not just because you show up at church. What are you doing in your life during the week? Are you demonstrating the love of God? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God? Lord, do you really want me to say that? Here's the thing. And I want to try to say this as nice as I know how, okay? I'm trying to find the right way to say this. Give me a second. I know you're strong. I know you're strong. I know you're strong, but I need to talk about where the body of Christ is for just a moment, okay? And when I say what I'm about to say, do not misinterpret my heart in this, okay? Because out of saying what I'm about to say, I'm trying to make it as smooth as I can. It is not intended to be condemning towards other churches, because the body of Christ must work together. It is, but what I'm about to say is very important for this day and time when it comes to the body of Christ. There has been a shift, a move away from the things of the Spirit of God in church services. Okay? There has been this effort to keep everything on such a positive note that everybody, when they leave churches, come out feeling really good about everything. And so there's a lot of feel good, preaching that is out there and very motivational. Okay? Now, I'm not saying this to be negative towards them. But what I'm saying is this, is that the word of God and what God requires of us is to make a decision in our life. Church is not for us to come and just leave saying, wow, that was a wonderful experience. It is meant to cause us to do something, to change and to progress in the things of God. And I will not compromise the word of God just so that you feel good. And so occasionally I'm going to step on your toes a little bit. Okay? And if you're looking for a church that the preacher's not going to step on your toes, then you need to go find another church. Okay? Because this is about us changing our lives and moving into the greater things. Now, I'm not saying anything against those churches. They have to do what God has called them to do. And there is a gift for that. Okay? But I'm telling you that we have got to step into the greater things of God. We've got to make the decision. I am going to love God with all my mind, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. I have got to love God. I have got to make some decisions in my life. I've got to lay some things aside. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 says, lay aside the sin that does so easily beset us. And so sometimes churches today don't even want to talk about sin. But the grace of God, the Bible says, teaches us to live righteously. How do you love God? do what he said. Now, verse 21. This verse absolutely transformed my life. About 20 years ago, he that hath my commandments and keeps them, that's the person that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. This is what I saw from this scripture. Is that why God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And God has redeemed me from sin. And God has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13. All of these things God has done for me. There is another blessing. There is another level that happens to the person who reciprocates that love to God. The born again believer, the new Christian, doesn't automatically enter into and does not experience into their life everything that God has already laid up for them. And the reason is because they're learning how to walk in it. They're learning how to live by faith. They're learning how to go from glory to glory to glory to glory. Amen.
Amen.
But for those that are living and doing what God has told them and showing their love for him, I read this and it just absolutely blew me away. In the Amplified, it says this: the person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him. There's an increased level of love that starts being poured to you from the Father. And then it says, I will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. I saw that. And I said, that can't be true. But Jesus said it. Jesus said that he would show himself to me. How cool would that be to see Jesus? But is that what he means? Or did he mean something else? We can try to come up with some kind of thing, but you know what? I just decided to take Jesus at his word. I just decided to start mixing faith with this word. I said, Jesus, you're the one that said it. I love you. I'm going to do everything that you've told me to do. And because of that, you have promised in your word that you will reveal yourself to me, that you will let yourself be clearly seen by me, and you will make yourself real to me. That is a response. That is a result of me showing God how much I love him. That is a result of me walking in the love of God. So I started mixing faith with that. I believed it. Now I can't go through the whole story because of sake of time. Most of you know it. Some of you that are new here don't know it. But there was a moment, because of some things that had happened in my life, demonic spirits that were coming in through nightmares and things like that, that I had to build up the word of God. I had to build it up in my spirit. I was tormented by demons for a period of almost 10 years. And in that moment, the last time that it happened, it was happening all the time. The last time that it happened, after I started mixing faith with this, after I started saying, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. One night when those demons came in, no, one afternoon, I was taking a nap when those demons came in, and I said, in the name of Jesus, everything changed. Now listen to me. Everything changed. Everything became white. And before I saw anything in the room, the atmosphere, the very air that you breathe was thick. I've never experienced anything like this in all my life. And I believe God that I'll experience it again. But it was like I was in water, but I wasn't in water. It was so thick, I instinctively knew that it was love. The love of God is so real. It is a tangible, physical force that you can feel. When God shows up in all of His love, it's so thick. I mean, the whole room was filled with it. I could feel it as I moved my hands. And I turned and looked, and there was Jesus. A manifestation of His promise to me. And He simply said these words. He said, "They're gone," talking about the demons. "They'll never bother you again. And I have to go now." And I woke up. And what had tormented me for 10 years, night after night, has never shown up again. And that was over 20 years ago. I made a commitment to love God with all my heart. I made a commitment to do what this says. I mixed faith with what Jesus had promised. But even for pastors, even for ministers, it is easy to get so busy with other things in life that you allow your love, your first love, to be removed. And out of that, that love begins to wax cold. Saints, listen to me. A revelation of the love of God is what we must have in our lives. Faith works by love. The grace of God is a result of God's love to each and every one of us. But if you want to experience what Jesus said, and this promise isn't just to one person. This promise is for everybody. Do you want Jesus to make Himself real in your life? Do you want to know beyond the shadow of a doubt how real He really is? He said, "Love me, keep my commandments, do what I say." Jesus loved the Father so much that He would do anything for Him. Are we there? I'm just asking questions today. Because I believe that we're at a place. I have said this about this church. And look, God's moving in churches all across the land. God's moving in churches all across the city. I met a wonderful pastor from the other side of town. Over in McCalla. They were here at these meetings Sunday night. It's great to see what God is doing. There must be in these end times what happened in the book of Acts. The book of Acts, the demonstration of the power of God, is what caused the world to get turned upside down. There must be a demonstration of God's Spirit in our churches today. If people cannot come to church and be set free by the power of God, then where can they go? If we can't take it to them, then what's the point of preaching the message? I'm not waiting for God to do anything, saints. I'm stepping into what God has already called us to do. Would you stand with me, please? Next week. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Next week, we're going to dig into this about loving other people. Loving other people, allowing the love of God to flow through you to love others. Marriages will be restored next week. Forgiveness is going to be easily obtained. next week. The power of God will be here. I know, because God's already shown me what's going to happen. Amen. On Wednesday nights, connected to this is the kingdom of God. We live, the Bible says we've been translated into the kingdom of God. And everything that we need comes out of the kingdom. Everything that we, the love of God, the power of God, our finances, our healing, all of that comes out of the kingdom. So we're learning on Wednesday nights about how to draw out of the kingdom, what it means, how to live in it. Glory to God. Would you just close your eyes for a moment? Just lift your hands and worship Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Right now, the Spirit of God is doing a work in the hearts of people here. I feel it. Oh. Hallelujah. Allow the Spirit of God to just talk to you for a moment. To talk to you about areas that you can do a better job in of showing God how much you love Him, of loving Him with all your mind and all your strength. There is a cleansing that is happening right now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Holy Spirit, Father God, your manifested presence in our lives is what we desire. Thank you, Lord Jesus. My goodness. My goodness. Be open to this. Be open to this. This is a very holy moment. People's, my goodness. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to take a moment. Sometimes we show God how much we don't love Him when we're in such a hurry to try to get out of church, instead of just allowing Him to do the work that He wants to do in people's lives. The word I keep hearing, cleansing. There is a cleansing taking place. There is something that is going on in the hearts of people. Turn me down just a little bit, Alan. There is something that's going on in the hearts of people here right now. We've put our families first. We've put our jobs first. We've put our friends first. We've put television first. We've put different things first. We've got all of these things that we've placed more value on and that are more important in our lives than the God that redeemed us from the power of Satan. And there must be a correction that takes place. In the name of Jesus, that is happening right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I recommit. Just take a moment to recommit. I'm not going to call people up. Just take a moment right now to make a fresh commitment to God. Father, I will love you with all my heart. Father, I will love you with all of my mind. I will love you with all my soul. I will love you with all my strength. Father, whatever I have elevated above you, Jesus, whatever I have put first place in my life, show me what those things are, and I will remove them, and I will return to my first love. I will return. Thank thank you, Lord.